If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
During his speech last night at a rally for gubernatorial candidate Terry McAuliffe, President Biden attacked former President Trump and said he was, quote, the only president since Herbert Hoover in the 30s to see more jobs lost than gained, which is why Biden voted against Trump and Hoover.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with actor Beanie Feldstein. But first, a closer look.
GOP members of Congress like Paul Gosar and Marjorie Taylor Greene are facing growing scrutiny over their roles in the attempt to overthrow our democracy on January 6th after a bombshell report linked them to the organizers of the day's events. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. The stakes of Joe Biden's presidency and the Democrats' agenda could not be higher. If Democrats don't deliver on their promises and fail to give voters a reason to keep electing Democrats, then the Republicans waiting in the wings to take power are people like this.
Rudy Giuliani used a filter to make himself look like Abraham Lincoln in an odd attack on Virginia gubernatorial candidate Terry McAuliffe.
Virginia, vote against the man who dishonored our past by selling my bedroom hundreds and hundreds of times to scoundrels in a pay-for-play scheme. In my time, we had a name for men who sold bedrooms for one night. In your time, the name is Terry McAuliffe. End the Clinton fleas once and for all.
Wow. Disney's Haunted Mansion really went all out this year. You know you're a real scumbag when you can make Abraham Lincoln seem dishonest. That's Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of America's largest city and former personal attorney to the President of the United States, although he looks more like a character who got caught from Oregon Trail because he gave the kids nightmares. Whenever you encountered him, a message would pop up that says, you have died of embarrassment. Looks like the guy you get your mission from in Grand Theft Auto Civil War.
Your next mission is to whack Robert E. Lee. Then go see Vito down at the docks and tell him it's done.
Also, what accent is he doing? Is that supposed to be 19th century American or coma patient learning how to talk again? That's what Abe Lincoln had actually sounded like the North would have given up and lost the Civil War.
47 years ago, somebody rented out my bedroom. This guy sucks.
That's the modern GOP. Sorry, that's the current GOP. I tried to overthrow an election based on bad conspiracy theories from bamboo fibers on ballots to Italian satellites hacking voting machines to election software designed by Hugo Chavez and the CIA to spread communism around the world. These are all things they've actually said. I'm waiting for them to claim next they saw thousands of people vote twice using the Kanye mask. And you wouldn't know who it is because they'd vote twice for Kanye. Arizona Congressman Paul Gosar, one of the leaders of the attempt to overturn the results, said in a recent congressional hearing that mysterious unnamed sources had approached him the day after the election to tell him the election was stolen from Donald Trump. Now, don't worry about trying to follow any of this because you can't.
The day after the election, I was contacted by two individuals. One had security and fraud jobs with the banking world. The other one goes from fraud from the Department of Defense. What they saw from Arizona drew their attention quickly first. They saw numbers of 90-some thousand, 60-some thousand, 40-some thousand ballots drop into Donald Trump's category and then quickly come out verbatim. But then they started watching there and looking to the dumps. And what I mean by that is there's a first dump, there's multiple dumps, maybe 9 or 10 through the night. If the first dump in Coquimbo County was 61% for Joe Biden, you would expect the rest of the time, the rest of the dumps, to be very similar. 58, 62, 55, and so on. Not 40, 38, 35. That drove their big question mark for them.
Hey, man, if you're going to talk about dumps that much, could you maybe move away from the camera a little bit? Or just point it lower? Did you record this on an ATM security camera? Are you under the impression that your forehead is your best feature? It's not. And I say that as a person who has the same one. Also, I love the idea that someone would find rock-solid evidence that the election was stolen and say, hey, this is big. Should we take it to the FBI, CIA, Washington Post? Or how about that space case congressman from Arizona? Gosar was, along with other fringe weirdos like Marjorie Taylor Greene, one of the key instigators of the attempt to overturn the election results on January 6th. Greene got into a shouting match on the House floor last week with colleagues during a vote to hold former Trump advisor Steve Bannon in contempt for defying a subpoena from the committee investigating the insurrection. And when she was asked about that vote by CNN, the interview took a weird turn.
What was the rationale behind your vote?
The rationale behind my vote is I'm not self-absorbed like the rest of these jerks here in Congress. They're all ignoring inflation. People can hardly buy food. Gas has gone up. Gas is because they're self-absorbed. All they care about is Congress. They don't care about the American people that pay all the taxes. All you want to talk about is your Trump derangement syndrome. And all you want to talk about is January 6th, where there's a riot here.
Why protect Steve Bannon?
Because I care about American people.
She has the grammar and cadence of the lady at Buffalo Wild Wings trying to get everyone's attention after one too many Keystone Lights. Also, you might have noticed there was a weird ending where a random dude just wandered up next to her during the interview. Now, if you've ever taken the subway before, you might be thinking, oh, no, he's about to ask her about Scientology. But turns out he's another Republican member of Congress, and he decided to just crash the interview and pull Greene away.
The interview ended soon after when fellow Republican Congressman Pete Sessions of Texas walked into the middle of our conversation.
So, you doing okay? Let's get out of here.
Okay.
But not Steve Bannon.
Well, even her fellow Republicans are like, Marjorie, you wandered off. Maybe you should stay away from the cameras, Marjorie. Or at the very least, Marjorie, at the very least, use a filter to disguise yourself. I've never seen that happen in an interview before. And, you know, doing interviews is my job. It definitely doesn't help you seem more normal. If someone in a suit came up to Andy Samberg halfway through an interview on this show and said, hey, Andy, you okay? Let's get out of here. I definitely think something's up with Samberg. And then I'd text him later and I'd say, hey, man, what was that? And he'd text back something like, sorry, I forgot to tell you. And I'd say, forgot to tell me what? And then there would be like three dots making me think he was writing something painfully confessional until he just said, Frisbee sucks. I mean, seriously, can you imagine the reaction if halfway through a closer look, someone just stopped me and took me off stage?
Hey, Seth, are you okay? Maybe you should go.
Why do you say that? Do I not seem okay?
Oh, no, you seem fine. But you see, every time I say a line on camera, I get paid. And I need the money to fix my pool.
Your house has a pool?
Don't be silly, Seth. My beach house has a pool. The beach house Seth Meyers made. Wink.
We're not paying you for the wink. You don't get money for a line if it's just saying a stage direction. Then this week, Greene seemed to justify the insurrection by claiming that the Declaration of Independence says to overthrow tyrants. That apparent confession that comes just days after a bombshell report from Rolling Stone tying Greene to the so-called Stop the Steal rally. On January 6th, that eventually led to the riot. Two planners of the pro-Trump rallies, who are now cooperating with the committee investigating the insurrection, described participating in dozens of planning briefings ahead of that day when Trump supporter broke into the Capitol. I remember Marjorie Taylor Greene specifically, one organizer said. And you would definitely remember talking to Marjorie Taylor Greene. The same way you'd remember being attacked by Chucky. If the cops were taking your statement after a Chucky attack, you wouldn't say, oh, man, I don't remember his name. I think he was, like 2 feet tall, orange hair, overalls, scars all over his face. Might have been a Cabbage Patch Kid. I don't know. Former mayor. But basically, Green had initially responded to the allegations by denying that she was involved in planning to the rally, saying the only thing she was very involved in was objecting to the election results on January 6th. Then, referring to the Rolling Stone article, she added, shouldn't they cover music? They do, which is why they were writing about you, one person who was equal to 10,000 maniacs. And hey, I know it seems like pandering to reference a hot modern band to get an audience reaction, but hey, hey, we give them what they want. I'm sorry. That network thing, they're cracking on us really hard. They're like, you haven't even obliquely mentioned Natalie Merchant in like 2 years. If you're watching at home and you like that joke, like, reach out. Joke. Also, her denial is itself a damning admission. She claims she wasn't involved in planning the protest because she was too busy trying to overturn the election results. We shouldn't just let that pass by unnoticed. It's a classic defense. I couldn't have burned down your house because I was too busy buying gasoline and matches and a map to your house. But probably the worst non-denial denial came from Alabama Congressman Mo Brooks, one of the most vocal advocates of the big lie and another co-conspirator who was also implicated in the Rolling Stone article. Brooks said in response that he had no involvement in planning the January 6th rally, but said, I don't know if my staff did, but if they did, I'd be proud of them for helping to put together a rally lawful under the First Amendment at the Ellipse to protest voter fraud and election theft. Wow, he OJ'd his own staff. I didn't do it, but if my staff did, here's how. It's a really nice joke that we just told. Like, that we changed what OJing means to mean, like, writing a book. Like, for a long time, he's been like, I feel like when people say OJ, you know, they to OJ someone is to write a piece of speculative fiction. For me, it's like author, football, and then you. Brooks really threw his staff under the bus, although in fairness, I do that a lot with my staff when a joke bombs. Like, I had no involvement with that 10,000 maniacs joke. But I'm proud of whoever wrote it. Took a lot of guts. Took a lot of guts to go out there and bring people. Now, if you're not familiar with Mo Brooks, he's the extremely pro-Trump congressman who gave an incendiary speech calling on Trump supporters to start taking down names and kicking ass, then said he only did it because Trump told him to. He metaphorically ran away from a lawsuit over his involvement in the insurrection and literally ran away from a reporter who tried to ask him about his support for accused sexual predator Roy Moore in 2017.
You believe Clinton opened up the window?
Yeah, that definitely seems like the kind of guy who would incite an insurrection, blame his staff, and then, I guess, judging from the clacking sound, escape on horseback. Seriously, the Foley work on that clip is outstanding. Why does it sound like they're galloping into town on a Mustang?
I didn't invite a riot, but if my staff did, I'd be proud of him. Now, if you'll excuse me and old Thunder here, we down in the saloon drinking a sarsaparilla and getting our next mission from weird old Abe Lincoln.
The core of today's Republican Party is the big lie that the election was stolen. They tried to overthrow the results. They're being open about it, trying to justify it, and planning on doing it again, which is why they have to be stopped. One of our two major parties, a party poised to take back power if Democrats fail, has been captured by a cult-like movement of weirdos, authoritarians, and
scoundrels.
You don't get used to it. This has been a closer look.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Our guest tonight is a talented actress who you know from the movies Lady Bird and Booksmart. She plays Monica Lewinsky in the limited series Impeachment, American Crime Story, which airs Tuesdays only on FX. Please welcome back to the show our friend Beanie Feldstein, everyone. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's so great to have you here.
Oh, my God.
So nice. They're so happy to see you. And I'm not just happy that you're here at the show. It's also very nice to have you back in New York City. I know this is home. I know you were away for a long time working on Impeachment. Are you happy to be back?
I'm back in the New York groove, baby. I'm here. I'm so happy to be back. I just smile, but no one can see it under my mask. When I walk around, I'm just like, I'm so happy to be here.
Your eyes. There's a light in your eyes when you smile.
There's a real smizing happening in my eyes, for sure.
And we've talked in the past. Obviously, this is not a secret that you are a great fan of musical theater. Have you been able to go back and see shows yet? Have you done it?
Yes. My partner, Bon, had never seen Hamilton.
That's amazing.
So I was like, I have to take you to see Hamilton. And she's British, so she loved the king. I was like, that's not the takeaway of Hamilton. She was like, ooh, yay. Yeah. But we had the greatest time. We saw Freestyle of Supreme. We saw Nollywood Dreams at MCC. It's been so great to be back at the theater.
That's really exciting. And we were talking backstage about Funny Girl. I mean, this is a show that has never been revived. An iconic part played by Barbara Streisand.
It's Barbara Streisand.
It's Barbara Streisand.
It's Barbara Streisand.
You know, so you must have, I don't know if hesitation is the right word, but like, what's it like to take on something like that?
It's insane. I mean, it's truly the first dream I ever had. Funny Girl was my obsession as a two-year-old. Normal. Like, I begged my mom to make my third birthday party Funny Girl themed. So, you know, like at Party City, you have like Elmo, plates, and Beauty and the Beast. And I was like, where is the Fanny Bryce balloons? And she was like, they don't exist. It didn't click for me, but I literally had a Funny Girl themed birthday party. My mom made me a Fanny Bryce costume.
So you're 3 years old. That's so shocking to me. Like, how did you know it? Were your parents just playing like the Broadway recording? Like,
my mom showed me the movie.
She
was
the
like,
movie.
Look at this iconic Jewish woman on the screen. You have to see this at 2 years old. And I became obsessed with it. And I would ask her to play it. Like, other kids would be like, play the Little Mermaid. I'd be like, can we do Don't Rain on My Parade one more time, please, Mom, from the top? And I just became obsessed with it. So yeah, I walk around my third birthday party, like eating all my snacks in my, you know, Fanny Bryce costume, and all the parents are laughing, and all the kids are like, what the heck is
What's going on? What about, so then it must have been a pretty special moment when you told your mom you were gonna do this on Broadway. What was that like?
So I didn't tell my mom that I was auditioning, because I was like, if this doesn't go my way, right, it's going to hurt her so much more than it's going to hurt me. So she had no idea any of this was happening. So when I got the call that I was going to be Fanny Bryce on Broadway, which is insane, I called my mom, and it was during the pandemic. It was, obviously, we're still in a pandemic, but it was pre-vaccine. And I called her, and I was like, I'm going to come by the house. Please put your mask on and bring Dad. Come outside. I'm going to be masked, but I have something to tell you. My mom was like, what's going on? What is going on? Like, screaming, like, literally shaking. She's like, you just have to tell me because I can't sit here. I'm like, it's been 4 seconds. You need to calm down.
Now, do you think, I don't know your mom, do you think she thought she was about to hear good news? Or do you think she was worried that it was going to be bad news?
I mean, it's Jewish mom. It's like, going to go to the bad, you know, whatever. She was like, something is happening that I don't know about.
And that's really what it is, good or bad.
Exactly.
It's like, I don't know.
I'm not in the know. And I was like, I'm gonna be Fanny Bryce on Broadway. And I've never seen her that happy. It was honestly like, and even my dad, oh, thank you. Even my dad, who's like, I think my dad says like 10 words a year, like he literally doesn't speak, was like, Bean, that is incredible. And I was like, so even he was excited in his own way, yeah.
I say this, this is a comment on, not on your mother, but on my mother and things that she has done in the past. How quickly after you gave her the good news did she start asking for tickets for her friends?
It was, can I tell my friends? And I was like, no, and you can't tell them for months. And she was like, that's going to be hard for me. That's going to be tough for me because I really wanted to call Chauncey. And if I can't call, I'm like, okay, relax. But yes, the tickets, she calls me once a day about them.
That's
I'm like,
great.
I promise you're going to get to go. Like, it's not a problem, I swear.
I'm sorry, Mom, it's sold out. I'm sorry. We talked about this when you were in Hello, Dolly.
Yes.
Your brother, Jonah Hill. Got a Hello Beanie tattoo, which is just such an incredibly loving and supporting thing.
Insane. When he told me he was going to do it, I was like, get on your arm. And I expected it to be, like, that big. And
yeah.
It's, like, truly most
It's a real
of his,
big one, yeah.
Yeah, it's too big, honestly. It's too
and
big.
And do we think there's a Funny Girl tattoo in his future? I feel like...
You have to keep up. If
you
start
keep
this
up with
rolling,
the revivals. Yeah,
yeah exactly. If you're not going to put the revivals on your skin, where are you going to... What are you going to... So, yeah, I guess there has to be some sort of, like...
I mean, it does seem, like, very complimentary.
It's very yeah. sweet.
I mean, he said, hello, Beanie. So does he do, like, funny Beanie? Or does he do Beanie Girl?
Beanie Girl? Like, what is it? I don't know. I'm not that funny. So, you know, it has to be, has to be Beanie
you,
Girl.
This must also be nice to, like, go into something as joyous as this after, while it was, you know, it's an incredible performance, impeachment must have been exhausting, both the schedule and just the emotional weight of what you're playing.
Yeah, I mean, I was standing backstage when you were playing the clip, and I'm like, oh, you know, it's just, it's so... It was really something like I'd never done before. Most of what I've been lucky enough to be a part of in the past has been leaning comedic, you know, like a dramedy or like a true comedy or a musical. And impeachment is not only a drama, but it's someone's real life. And Monica was a producer on the show, so it was a tremendous amount of responsibility for me. I really felt like I wanted to do right by her in every way that I possibly could. And so to do that, I had to really send myself into some really intense places. And Ryan Murphy directed the episode from the clip you just saw. And he'd come up to me and he would be like, how you doing? Can we go again? And I just would be like, it's for Monica. We have to go again. If you need to go again, I have to do right by her. That's like all I brush my teeth thinking about it. I go to sleep thinking about it. Like I do everything in my life revolves around doing right by her. So I, you know, it's what she had to go through was really disturbing and intense. So yeah, it was very different.
It's been very nice to sort of correct the record because I think a lot of people, especially, you know, younger people, not that, you know, older people shouldn't be excused either, but I think younger people might not know the full story and might know it from, like, small pieces of, like, you know, jokes or this or that and to actually see what happened. I would imagine when you would talk to Monica, who, as you mentioned, was a producer on it, like, what sort of questions would you ask her without having to make her sort of relive it herself?
Totally. So she's the producer and the subject, so that's, like, a really tricky thing to navigate. And as you said, I didn't want to make her sort of rehash the most traumatic days of her life. So by the time I met her, I'd been researching her for 10 months, which is like a really weird interaction of like, hello, I know almost everything about you. And so I really wanted to know things that I just couldn't find in any book or any transcript because Monica was interviewed 22 times by the Office of Independent Counsel about what happened. So unfortunately, there's just so much material of her being questioned. So I wanted things that like you'll just never be able to find, like, her best friend's name is Catherine. I was like, is she Kat? Is she Kathy? Like, when the two of you are just, like, alone and hanging, like, who is she to you? You know, these things that I just couldn't get from any book. Like, is that Grandma Bubby or is that Grandma Bubby? You know, just, like, yeah. these little specificities that I couldn't find. And she was so gracious and she was so giving to all of us from every stage of the project. And I just, yeah, I hope we did right by her.
I think you did. Congratulations on that. I'm so excited for Funny Girl. And thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a delight. Beanie Feldstein, everybody. Impeachment, American Crime Story airs Tuesdays on FX.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night Podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.